I visited 15 different churches throughout the city, and of those 15, there was only one where I found some solace, some consolation, and some uplift, and that was the Greenpoint Reformed Church. And it's a wonderful church. It has the best music in all of New York, as far as I'm concerned, and it has the best pastors anywhere who have been, you know, counselors, supporters of me, and as well as friends. So you just have a great church, and thank you. Thank you for it. Well, somehow it keeps coming up in my life. The friend who first told me about it is now going through it again. Recently at a museum, I heard two people talking about it. It appeared in the Times again 2 weeks ago. What is it? It's Marie Kondo's hugely successful book. Anybody know it? The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. Any of you heard about it? A few of you, I'm sure. Kondo's passion and her mission in life is to help people organize their lives by downsizing and thus making them happier. Even as a little girl, Kondo was busy organizing her little room and her brother's room, too, to his consternation. Kondo's premise is that, basically Anna gave away my whole message earlier, her basic premise is that too many things in our lives distort our perspective on life. Too many things can hamper us from seeing what's really important in life and pursuing those important things in life. Too much stuff in our lives oppresses, overwhelms us. Simply by the sheer space they take up. They leave us with less space to live and to breathe and to love in. Ever get that claustrophobic feeling by all your stuff? They become burdens, dragging us down, holding us back. Kondo says that when you declutter, quote, you put your house in order, you can see quite clearly what you need in life and what you don't. What you should and shouldn't do. Big promise, isn't it? I love what one reader later testified. She said, "Your book has taught me to see what I really need and what I don't. So I got a divorce. Now I feel much happier." Anyway, is there any wonder in that this book is such a success in a society like ours, where in a poll, 75% of people in the poll living in suburbia parked their cars out on the street because there was just too much stuff in the garage. Or where a $20 million storage industry has blossomed. Anybody here have a storage unit? Come on, be honest. Is that, oh, you're very good, very good. Or where a show like Clean Sweep, ever seen it? With the horrors of hoarding, can be so popular? Of course, Jesus talked about this in many ways, in many times, long before Marie Kondo talked about it. In our scripture this morning, a young man approaches Jesus. We're told Jesus loves him, maybe because of his youth, maybe just because of his earnestness. The young man comes to Jesus saying something is missing in his life. He doesn't know what it is. He just can't put his finger on it. He's alive, but he's not fully alive. He wants eternal life. That's what the Bible terms life at its most abundance. Life not just in the future at its most abundant, but life right now at its most abundant. Well, again, Jesus looked at the young man and he loved him, we're told. And he first conducted a spiritual appraisal of this young man and his problem. He asked him several questions. Is he religious? Yes. Does he follow the teachings of the Bible? Yes. Does he lead a moral life? Yes. I do all these things, he asserts, ever since I was a young boy. but still, something's missing in my life. Well, Jesus studied him, and then he made his diagnosis. Well, here's my prescription. Go and sell all of your possessions, and give the proceeds away to the poor, and then come and follow me. Jesus, you see, knew that all this stuff, all these possessions the young man owned, were hindering his happiness. Sadly, however, the young man's face fell, we're told, for he had many possessions, and he could not let go of them. So I think we all know, in many ways in life, it's hard to let go, isn't it? Now, it wasn't as though Jesus was against possessions per se. I mean, we all need possessions in life just to get through. Some possessions even bring us some semblance of joy. Jesus' parable, for example, of the man who found buried treasure and the joy in his discovery. Or the woman who lost her a coin and she searched and searched and searched for them and the joy she felt when finally she found that lost coin. Indeed, some of Jesus' disciples, his followers, were people of means with many possessions, whether Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, Zacchaeus. But, like Marie Kondo, Jesus was well aware of the way that possessions have of getting in the way of our happiness. Piled high around us, sometimes we can't see beyond them. We can't see to the wider world or to other people. We spend so much time looking at our stuff, we don't have time to look at the things in life that really matter. Or for that matter, simply to enjoy the things that we have. Nor, of course, as Jesus pointed out, do things stand the test of time. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust corrode and thieves break in and steal, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven that do not depreciate, that do not decay, that do not disappear. Remember when Jesus sent his disciples off into the world on their mission? What did he tell them to take? He told them to take the shirts on their back, their wallets, and their walking staves. Jesus' motto was, travel light through life. Literally or spiritually, if we're forever having to worry about all of our life's luggage, we're going to miss an awful lot of fun on the trip, aren't we? Mm-hmm. By the way, Jesus walked what he taught. He owed nothing that we know of except the robe on his back. But there's more than just material clutter, isn't there? There's also the mental and emotional clutter of our lives. All that stuff in our hearts and our heads that we hold on to, that we accumulate, that don't do us any good. I mean, what about that grudge against your brother that you've been storing in the attic of your mind all of these years? Or what about that anger towards your mother that you have stored deep down in your heart's basement? Or your vindictiveness to the guy at work who dissed you in front of the boss? Or those temper tantrums you won't let go of? Or your unwillingness ever to say, I'm sorry? It's like my life coach has told me, why do you give storage space in your head to all that negative stuff that serves no purpose but to take up space and to make you miserable? Or as Kondo would say, what joy does it spark in your life? Which, by the way, is Kondo's criterion of whether or not to get rid of or to hold on to stuff. Does this object, whether it's a sweater or a book or a memento, does this object spark joy in your life? If it doesn't, well, thank it for the service it's given to you and give it to Housing Works. Or if it doesn't spark joy in your life, or if it does spark joy in your life, then find a place for it. Jesus, of course, would say, a little contrary to Kundo, that possessions seldom bring us much joy in life. It's very fleeting, but he would say that authentic joy in life comes from the intangible stuff like relationships, experience, selflessness, generosity, laughter, love. Anyway, her book has inspired me to take an inventory of the stuff in my life, but not only the material stuff, but the mental, emotional stuff, but also to take a joy inventory in my life. What about joy in your life? What is it that brings joy to you? What doesn't? Is it spending time with your kid? Is it making a great dinner for your friends? Is it volunteering right here at Greenpoint? Is it a good laugh? Is it meditation? Is it yoga? What is it? Is going to church? Does that bring you moments of joy? If it doesn't, maybe you ought to reconsider coming to church. What brings joy to you in your life, and how can you increase it? What doesn't bring joy to you in your life, and maybe you should get rid of it? Joy. As Jesus once said, wherever there is joy in this world, there he is. And wherever he is, there is joy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
hands.
Amen.